And so we want to turn tonight in the book of James, James chapter 5, and we want to read one verse, which is verse 17. We shared this verse with you recently as kind of a reference verse, and when I was reading that as I was preaching another message, I used this verse as a reference verse, and so I want to come back to that verse, and there's some things in this verse that that spoke to my heart, and that I hope it speaks to yours as well. James chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We do lift up the request of prayer that we have on our prayer list, and those that are struggling, Lord, we pray for them. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Help us to focus on you. Help us to concentrate on you. And help us to love you. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts tonight. Lord, as I bring the message you've laid on my heart, I pray that you'll even speak through me, but also speak to me. And so, Father, we ask your blessings. And Lord, we do earnestly pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart and cause them to realize the only hope is in Jesus Christ. We ask all these things and we give you the praise for all things, for it's in Jesus' name, amen. Elijah's secret. Elijah's secret. When generations pass on, there are some things that go with them. You know, there are things that generations gone by knows how to do, or knew how to do, maybe I should say it that way. And, you know, as hard as you try, it's hard to mimic what they've done. And I'll give you an example. Some of you know that knew Darla's grandmother. She was known for her biscuits. Now I'm not trying to make anyone hungry, but she was known for her homemade biscuits. And one night, I don't know if Darla remembers this or not, but one night, we hadn't been married too long, we went over to see her. And she had made, or she was making one of my favorites, of course I'm going to make myself hungry, but she had made steak and gravy and mashed potatoes and some fixings like that, and she was making some biscuits. And she had asked Darla to come over and she was going to kind of show her a little bit about how to make these biscuits. So she began to get the things prepared, and then she just started putting in ingredients. And some of you can relate to this. Some of you that cook, I know Miss Cassandra can probably relate to this. But she started putting a little dab of this and a little dab of that. And the question was, well, how do you know? How do you know how much a dab is? You know, when you're looking at a recipe, it doesn't say a dab. And so she had done it so much in her life, and she just knew. She just knew what to do. And so I don't know. There's probably some that has come close, but I don't know that there's anyone that that has mastered her biscuits. And it's because she was zeroing in on it so much that she knew exactly what to do. She was looking for the right texture. She was looking for the right taste. She was looking for the right mixture. She was looking for all those things. And they just turned out great. You know, I can honestly say I never had a bad biscuit that Miss Neva made. But the point to that is like I said, not to make anyone hungry, but to realize that when we are so involved with what we do, and we do it so often, then it comes natural. It comes natural. And so my message tonight is Elijah's secret. Elijah's secret. What was Elijah's secret? Now, the verse that we shared with you tonight, it makes mention that he was a man that was subject to like passions as we are. So really, there's, you know, we look at people in the Bible and we look at the time period that they lived. We look at what was going on. We look at the dispensation of the time period, how God was dealing with his people. But yet, we have something in common, and that is, we're still people. And so when I was reading this verse recently, and I was, that kind of stood out to me, where it says that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And so, but there's three things that I think that, and I'm gonna make mention about Satan again tonight, because he's on the prowl, and he is very destructive, and he wants there to be destruction. He wants there to be animosity. He wants there to be confusion. He wants there to be turmoil. He wants there to be hatred. He wants there to be, he wants to try to cause no credibility in believers. And of course, we saw that in, or we see that in the life of Jesus, how that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those religious leaders did their best to try to cause Jesus to stumble, try to call Jesus to make a statement or do an act that would cause doubt. But of course, we know that Jesus was sinless, and we know that Jesus never failed. Nor will he ever fail, but yet Satan is still on the attack, just like he was back then in Elijah's day. He's still on the attack today, and I believe that he will be on the attack and continue to be on the attack until he gets his due reward. And so we have to realize that. So what makes Elijah so special? What was it that centered around Elijah that we can grow from and that we can learn from? And so there's three things that Satan does not want us to do. And these are the three things that I believe that Satan does not want us to do. One is, he don't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to pray. It's almost like that if we, if he causes us to stumble, or if he causes us to trip, then one of the first things that he wants us to say that's not needed is prayer, but I believe it's fully needed. We need prayer. We need prayer in our lives. We need prayer in our daily life. We need prayer as individuals. We need prayer in groups, and we need prayer as church. And so we need that prayer. So that's one of the things that he don't want us to do. And the Bible even talks about how that Elijah prayed, and that he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. Well, the second thing that I don't believe Satan wants individuals to do, especially Christians, and that is read the Bible. He don't want us to read the Bible. He don't want us to have that fellowship with the Lord. He don't want us to have that unity with the Lord, and that's how the communication is. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we hear from God through His Word. We hear from God through His Word. So He don't want us to read the Bible. And then the third thing that He don't want us to do, and that is tell others about Jesus Christ. Those are the three things that if He tries to hinder, you know, it doesn't matter to Him if you're the the greatest in some company. It doesn't matter if you're some kind of a star. It doesn't matter to him, if you're accomplish all these things. But what matters to him is he don't want us to pray. He don't want us to read. And he doesn't want us to tell others. But that should be the three things that should be top on our list. That should be the three things that's the top on our list. So, you know, when I look at Elijah and I see all the things that that was accomplished, that God used him. Of course, God did the work, but God used him. You know, I want us to understand, and you know this, but I'm just going to make this statement, that Elijah wasn't a Superman. He wasn't someone that had these super traits, or he wasn't one that... that he was just an ordinarily unique, special person, but Elijah was just like us. He was just like us. He was subject to like passions as we are. And let me tell you some things that he faced, which are the same things that we face today. He faced jealousy. He faced envy. He faced malice. He faced temptation. He faced evil speaking, and he faced so many other things, just like we face every day. We face all these things every day. But we also know that he had some very strong points, and some strong points that stood out in his life. He loved people. He had a great tenderness. He had patience. He had a great zeal for the Lord. He had great energy, and he had great courage. You see, Elijah faced Ahab. Elijah faced the prophets of Baal, and Elijah had a lot of obstacles. But all these things, and all these things that were accomplished through him, through the Lord's power, because he couldn't have done it without the Lord, and the Lord used him. But all these things wasn't what made him great. But I think one of the things that stands out to me, based upon what this verse says, was that he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. He prayed. How important is prayer? How important is prayer? You know, we talk about prayer a lot. We look at Daniel, and Daniel, it talks about how that he prayed and the window was open. He prayed three times a day. There's other individuals that prayed. Even Christ himself prayed in the garden. How important is prayer? You know, for one thing, I believe it's one of the most important things, but for one thing, it's how we communicate with the Lord. It's how we communicate with him. What would it be like if there was no communication at all with someone that you cared about? Some of you might have to deal with that once in a while. Some of you might have to, I've shared with this before, but my mother longed to speak to the sister that I have that hadn't spoken to anybody in the family in 34 years. And my mother longed to speak to her, and of course my mother's with the Lord right now. And so she died not speaking to my sister. But there was a longing. You know, it should be a special time for us to talk to the Lord. A special time. And I know that we make our requests to the Lord, and I know that we pray to him, and I know that we should pray to him. But, you know, just talking to him is special. Just thanking him is special. You know, we could thank him all day long and still not exhaust all the things that he does for us. You know, it would be easy, and we potentially could all be guilty of it, but it would be easy for us to take for granted all the things and all the blessings that he gives us. It'd be easy for us to do that because we get them every day. But you know, my dad, when he prayed, he would a lot of times pray out loud, and we sometimes would pray as a family. But there's one thing that he would always say in his prayer, And I remember it like it was yesterday. And he said, thank you for life. Thank you for life. You know, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And I don't think there's, in this world today, I don't think there's an appreciation of life like it should be. You know, life is a gift from God. You know, life is a gift from God. You know, I know there's struggles and there's pains and there's sicknesses and all those things. But, you know, we have one life. And I referenced my dad again, but I have a little card that my mother gave me that he kept in his wallet. And it was something like this. Only when one life would soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And how true that is. Elijah can show us some things. But in prayer, and as we pray, and as we communicate with God, it takes faith. It takes faith. We have to believe, and we have to understand that we are talking to God. Now, we understand that we pray in Jesus' name, and we understand that we should always pray in Jesus' name. But it's talking to God, and it takes faith. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says, if any man lack wisdom, what do? Let him ask of God. That's prayer. Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. But how do we ask? How do we communicate? How do we talk to God? But let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. How else do we ask? Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. That kind of brings to mind of individuals that might say something like this. Lord, if you get me through this, if you get me through this trial, or you get me through this, and I've heard individuals testify of this, but they say, Lord, if you get me through this, then I'll serve you. That's wavering. That's almost putting a condition on that prayer. Lord, if you get me through this, and if God helps them through it and they get through that, then more times than not, they might start or they might try, and then they fall by the wayside. They fall by the wayside. It takes faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven by the winds and is tossed. You know, when we put conditions on our prayer life, when we put conditions, Lord, I'll do this if you do this, that's putting condition, and that's like being tossed to and fro. That's like being tossed from one side to the other. That's almost like there's no stability there. And it's almost like putting conditions on God and putting conditions. We should never forget tonight, we should never forget who God is and who we are. We should never forget that. We need to understand who we are and where our place is and where God's place is. Because God's God. And so Elijah was special. And Elijah was very special. And so I want to share a couple of verses with you in 1 Kings. And it's a familiar passage, but it kind of goes along with what I would consider what is Elijah's secret. And it's in 1 Kings 17, beginning with verse 19, the Bible. And I'll just read, if you choose to turn there, I'll begin reading with verse 19 of 1 Kings 17. It says, and he said unto her, give me thy son. Now this is Elijah, and this is through prayer, and this is the widow's son who had became ill. And it says, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried her up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And notice what the woman said in verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Is true. That prayer and the answer to that prayer is a testimony. Is a testimony. Sometimes we just don't have the answer to life's problems. Sometimes we try to figure out life's problems. Sometimes we try to figure out situations, and we may ask, well, you know, I'm not sure what to do, or we may have the idea of, and I'll say this, there's many times in life when we deal through life problems, we didn't ask for those problems. I don't know anybody who got up this morning and said, Lord, I want you to give me a lot of problems today. We didn't ask for those problems, but yet we still deal with them, and then we still deal with life itself. And you know, with life, because of sin and because of the sin-cursed world, then we're going to have to deal with problems. So we need to figure out how to get through these problems. We need to have an understanding of what we can do, and the first is through prayer. Through prayer. What do we know about Elijah? What do we know about him? If you study any part of his life and you study some of the things that stand out, what do we know about Elijah in his life? Well, first, he believed God. He believed God. He believed in his existence. He believed in his word, because the word came to Elijah. He believed in his purpose. And he believed in God's willingness to guide. God was guiding him, and Elijah was listening. God was guiding him. God was directing him. And that's the same desire that we should have today. We need God's guidance. You know, if you're like I am, if we're depending solely on ourselves, we're probably going to mess things up. But if we're getting led by the Lord, even if we mess things up, he's right there with us. He's right there with us. So he believed God. Number two, he kept right with God. He kept right with God. If we're not careful, you know, we can stray and not even realize it. We can stray. There are so many things out there that can pull us away. There's so many things out there that can hinder us. There's so many things out there, and it'll happen and you not even know it. You not even know it. I'll give you an example of something happening and you not even know it. Back when I was young, I don't do it much anymore, and it's been a long time since I've done it actually, but when we were growing up, the first time that we went to the beach, I went with my dad fishing, and the first time I went with some friends, I was in about the third grade, and we were surf fishing, and of course that was new to me. I mean, we were from the mountains, and I didn't even know what the ocean looked like. And so we got out in the water, and we started, me and the three boys that I was with, we got to playing in the water, and before I knew it, I looked and was looking out, and before I knew it, I was a long ways from my dad where he was fishing. The current and the waves breaking was taking me down. And I'm not telling you, it wasn't taking me out, but it was taking me down. And I looked, and I'm like, well, where are they? And I looked up, and my dad was a long ways away. And what I'm trying to say is, you know, when it comes to life, and when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we need to be right on every day. Because if we're not anchored in Him, if we're not anchored every single day in Him, then we can drift and not even realize it. It can happen. We can drift and not even realize it. There's a verse in Psalm 66, verse 18 that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So Elijah had to keep right with God. He had to keep right with Him. Our relationship with God should be the most important thing of anything else in our life. Our relationship with God should be number one. It should be more important than anything else that we do, that we plan to do, that we want to do, or any other person in our life. The Lord should be first in everything that we do. He should be first. And so Elijah had that. He believed God and he kept right with God. And there's, as I said before, there's many things that will pull us away, but we need God in our life and He is the most important thing. It's important that we stay close to God so that we won't stray. It's not about how we, it's not about how close we were in the past, although we can reference that. But it's how close are we today? How close are we today? Yes, we can reference the past and we can give testimony of what God has done for us and how God has pulled us through this and pulled us through that and helped us with this and helped us with that. But you know, I want to be close to God today. I'm thankful for the past and I'm thankful for that testimony, but I want to be close to God today. And Elijah stayed close to God. Number three, he obeyed God. He obeyed God. When the rain stopped, God told him to turn, or when, maybe I should say when the rain stopped, and of course, this morning, someone that accused me that, I kind of referenced this, and so this morning, you know, we were talking about how that we'd had so much rain and through the summer, and then after I brought the message, then it was 20 days before it rained again. Well, I promise you I had nothing to do with it. It was all part of God's plan. But when the rain stopped, when Elijah prayed and the rain stopped, how do we know he obeyed God? Because God told him to turn eastward. God told him. And to hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And so what did Elijah do? He went. He went. He did what God said. Now, the thought that came to my mind was this. When we obey God, there's going to be times in our life to where we feel like we're alone. There's going to be people that's not going to understand. There's going to be a time of you look around you and you don't see anything. But Elijah was getting nourishment from God. You know, during those lonely times that you're doing what you know God's wanting you to do as Elijah, during those lonely times or during those times that you're minding the Lord as Elijah did, there's going to be times that you feel like you're alone. You know, when I was growing up in school, you know, my friends knew that I was a Christian. And they knew that, and I had given testimony, but I struggled just like many of you probably did. And yes, I made some bad decisions growing up. But there was a time that one of my friends had invited me to a party. And it was going to be a bonfire type party. And I told him, I said, no, because I knew there was going to be things that was going on there. It was a bonfire, and I knew that there was going to be probably drinking, and there's going to be some things that was going on that I shouldn't be a part of. But you know, he told me, he says, well, he said, I want you to go. And I said, no, I can't go. And I guess I was probably around 17, 18 years old. And I said, no, I can't go. And then he said, well, I know I'm going to be drinking and I need somebody to drive me. And he said, and if something happens to me, then you could have put a stop to it because you need to be my designated driver. And so, you know, that, you know, I still shouldn't have went, but that kind of got me to thinking. And I knew as soon as I got out of the car and we went to this place, I knew I had no part of being there. I knew. The Lord was speaking to my heart. The Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. And I knew that I shouldn't be there. But I walked down where the bonfire was. And I just knew. It's like the conviction came on me. And I knew that I shouldn't be there. And I was probably there maybe 20 minutes. And I went to him and I said, listen. I said, I'm going. I can't be here. I can't be a part of this. And his comment to me was, okay, I'll find a ride with somebody else. And so, you know, as a believer, and I did leave, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. But as a believer, we simply need to obey God. We need to obey. And there's going to be so many temptations out there, and there's going to be so many things. And, you know, temptations doesn't stop when you reach a certain age. It doesn't. It continues on until the Lord takes you home. Temptations are going to be there. And that's why it's so important that we obey God. And when we do obey God, there's going to be times, as like Elijah, there's going to be times that we feel like that we're alone. But in the midst of being alone, and in the midst of Elijah being there at the brook, God gave him water from the brook. God fed him from the ravens. And he had fellowship. And that's God's provision. As a believer, that's what we need. We need that water, that living water. We need that spiritual food, and we need that fellowship. That's what we get when we obey God. There's going to be times that we feel like we're alone, and Elijah was, but in reality, God was there taking care of him. God was there taking care of him. So he obeyed God. And then God told him in 1 Kings 17, verse 8, it says, God told him to arise from that place and go to Zarephath. So then God was changing directions. The brook was getting dried up, and God told him to go to a different place. And so that tells me that in our Christian life, we're not always going to be in the same place. We need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to go to where God is leading us and directing us, because there's a need. There's a need. So God told him to go and to arise, and that's in 17 verse 8 of 1 Kings. And God told him to arise and go, and God provided. This time, God used people. This time God used people to provide for Elijah. And of course, you know that story about how that they were ultimately on their last meal, and you know, they were gathering for their last meal, and Elijah told them, "You make this cake for me," and ultimately he was saying that God will take care of you, and God did, but he had to obey, he had to listen. Different circumstance, different time in his life. He went from where he was alone, now he's with people. But the whole time he was obeying. He was obeying. So as we live our Christian life, it's important that we obey. And we need to obey when we're alone. We need to obey when we're around others. And then God told him to go show thyself unto Ahab. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 18. And God told him, go show yourself to Ahab. And that's when he was saying that it's going to rain. It's going to rain. But the testimony here in Elijah's life was he did as God said. He didn't make any excuse. He didn't have a hesitation. He just did it. He just did it. And then the fourth thing that Elijah, the secret of Elijah was this. He prayed frequently. He prayed frequently. And in his prayer, he prayed believing. He prayed believing. You don't have to answer this or show hands or anything like this, but have you ever prayed and you prayed to the Lord, but yet you had doubt in the back of your mind when you were praying? You know, you were praying about something and there was just some doubt there, thinking that this might not work out. And you prayed, you know, as you were praying, you had some doubt there. Well, there's a passage in the Bible in the New Testament where there was one that prayed and he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." And that's something that I think comes natural, and that's something that we might struggle with. But the important thing is that we're asking God to help. Help us when we struggle with believing. Help us when we struggle, when life becomes very hard and when life becomes very difficult. And we ask the Lord, help us, Lord. Help us with my struggles. Help us when I struggle believing. You see, Elijah prayed frequently, but Elijah prayed believing. But also he prayed definitely. He was definite in his prayer. He prayed for rain, and it rained. He prayed for the widow's son, and the widow's son lived. He prayed for fire, and the fire came. What was his secret? What was his secret? Well, I believe Elijah's secret wasn't really a secret at all. But I believe what Elijah did was he stayed close to God. He stayed close to God. He prayed. He had fellowship. And he had obedience. And we look at the situations that we're in this world, and we can find encouragement because we can do the same thing. We can pray, we can have fellowship, and most importantly, obey. Obey. You see, it's really not a secret at all. And it's more than just, as Darla's grandma was making those biscuits, you know, it's more than just a little dab of this and a little dab of that. It's simply our relationship with God. That is the most important thing in life, is our relationship with God. That's the most important thing. Elijah had his struggles, and we could have went on with some of that tonight, with some of the struggles he had. But most importantly, he had that relationship with God, and that should be our desire, is to stay close to God. I couldn't imagine, with all that's going on, I couldn't imagine living life right now without God. I couldn't imagine it. But yet people are doing it every day. But you look at this condition of people in their lives, and you look at the condition of the world, and we see what happens when you live without God. You see it. You see it in people's faces. You see it in people's hearts. You see it in people's concerns. You see it in so many things. And we can, you know, we could think about the worst thing that could happen in this world, and we as believers could still be encouraged because we're one of His children. You see, that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And we understand tonight that this is not our permanent home. You know, the way the world is today, it's just a matter of time to where the Lord will either come back or take us. But no matter whether the Lord comes back and comes and gets us, or we go through death, through the channel of death, the most important thing is that we're one of His children and we're going to be there. That's that relationship. And so our challenge to you tonight is stay close to God. That's Elijah's secret, is stay close to God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Lord, what a challenge it is for us. Lord, we get challenged, as You know, in so many ways, from so many directions. Help us to zero in on You. Help us to focus on You. Help us to live for You. Help us to love You more. And Lord, help us to not allow these distractions in life to pull us away. But help us to come in fellowship with You. We know there's times that we feel like we're going to be alone, and we are, but you're with us. There's times that we're going to be around people. There's times that we need to make a stand. But the most important thing is that we're close to you. Father, there's someone here that needs to come and talk to you and restore that fellowship, or just fellowship in general. Lord, there's a lot of needs. There's a lot of prayers. But help us, Lord, to stay close to you. No matter what anyone else does, help us to stay close to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.